Galatians. We're going to look at verses 8 through 20 of chapter 4. We began last week with verses 1 through 7. I shared with you on that occasion the context of the lesson, and it will suffice for today as well. By way of announcements, we have entered that time of year where all the soldiers are being called to arms. All the new recruits are being asked to show up. It's March next month. So in March, Brother Triple, we are to march in March. And we are soldiers in the army. And we've been called from duty, shore, what do they call it? Shore leave and ETO and vacation. We've been called to assemble here for the next 12 weeks for evangelism. It's evangelism time. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Fired up, fired up. Two campaigns for those that are not familiar. That means that you need to be in our basic Christian doctrine class. For those who have already entered the School of Evangelism, please show up for your classes on time, ready, fired up to do the work of the Lord, to learn more about Christ, so that, as Brother Mercer prayed, that we can live our lives better than we have in the past. How appropriate, what an appropriate prayer for today's lesson. So remember, you'll hear more. Sign up. You can sign up through the website. You can sign up at the desk. Or you can just show up. But, you know, we prefer that you sign up so that we know when you show up, we'll have something for you. We'll have something for you. All right. Any seniors in the class? Anybody going to 106? Praise the Lord! All right. You're looking at a man who spent 3.5 years. He's happy. He's free. He's not quite delivered. He's not quite delivered, but he's on his way. He's got 12 more weeks, and he's going to cry out, free at last, free at last. I tell you, what a time. It's a great time, and it's a little bit different time for me. It's be interesting what the Lord has in store for us in the coming days in our evangelism process. Delivered from bondage, chapter 4, verses 8 through 20. Delivered from bondage. Paul has already given his proclamation and exclamation and an appeal and logic to the folk that he has been ministering to in the region of Galatia for some time now. And he's come because, all it takes is one man. You know, one man can come in and do more damage. It'll take a whole church of folk a lifetime to undo what one man will do. Well, in this particular case, as you heard last week, we have folk that want to add something to the gospel.
Right.
You know, I mean, we want to add something to it. You want to go back to some misgivings. In other words, they were flat false teachers. That's the bottom line. You know, they flat false. They false, you know. And I mean, they were false in the real sense, you know. It's not like today, because we don't know what false is today. You know, we have a misconception of what false is. But let me tell you, it was false doctrine. That's why we teach basic Christian doctrine here, so that you'll know false doctrine when you hear it. And the big issue is about something that's so simple, but that's how the devil does stuff. He moves in on little things.
Yeah.
You know, what color is the wear today? And, oh, can I have somebody? Little things that he just add, a little mixture, you know. But a lie added to the truth is still a lie. That's it. And so Paul says, look here, pull up. You guys have got to get your acts together. You got to do better than you. And Paul says, I'm not talking just to you. I'm talking to you and to you back there. I'm talking to the great and the small. I'm talking to all of you. Don't fall for false teaching. And you say, well, Brother Sneed, you know, I studied the lesson, and you know, the only thing here, it appears that the biggest thing was about circumcision. Why would we fall out about circumcision? Well, if it becomes a prerequisite for salvation, that's false doctrine. That's false doctrine, because when Paul wrote to the Romans, he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to the Jew first, but also to the Greek. Now here's what they said, Merce. They said, oh, I'm not ashamed of the gospel and circumcision, for circumcision is. Paul said, I didn't say that. And so to say anything else is out and out lie. You know, I mean, it's false. It's not true. And the issue is, now, when you confront folk with the truth and about their condition, you got a problem. Because folk don't want to be told that they're wrong. Folk don't want to be told that, hey, my tradition, I grew up in my great-grandmama's church. You know, my uncle got baptized, filled with the Holy Ghost right here beside this potbelly stove. And the only way you can get filled is you have a potbelly stove. Well, that's no more ludicrous than what they were saying was that you needed circumcision. Amen. To be saved. Because then how would the women get saved? See, Paul says, you know, I'll put forth a logical argument for you, and that's what he does here. We're going to look at this from two perspectives, Sister Nina. Paul's going to tell him what the problem is, and then he's going to make an appeal. This is a problem, but let me tell you. You see, folks, I told you that people don't like to be told the truth when they have their own truth. The truth, people will strike back, and they feel differently about you when you come with the truth. As long as you was telling them that they are heirs of the promise and that whatever Jesus has, they will have, and you know they are joint heirs with Christ. They shout it all over the place. You know, prosperity. Oh, they trip. They into it. I'm going to get something out of this. But then when you come and say, hold up, with salvation comes some responsibility. They say, what you talking about, Willis? They don't want to hear. They don't want to hear. And this is what we have this morning here, as Paul states what the problem is. He's already told them. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem those who were under the law. In other words, Paul says salvation came by an act of Christ, not by something that you do. Because Paul says, now, I'll hold it up for later on, you know, and I'll write to Titus and I'll tell him, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing and regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. And he says, I'll go down to Ephesus and I'll tell them, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of you. I'll tell them all of that. But you Galatians, you got a problem, because you heard the same gospel that the folk over at Ephesus heard. You heard the same gospel that Timothy and Titus heard. You heard the same gospel that the Philippians heard. You heard the gospel. But now you've got a couple of jacklegs, a couple of shade tree preachers and teachers that are now going to tell you something different than what I've told you.
Yes, sir.
Now, I haven't told you, but I've told other churches that, you know what, follow me as I follow Christ. And if anybody come telling you anything other than what I've taught, because I'm teaching the W-O-R-D, the word, the Logos, I'm teaching divine intellect. I'm teaching the same word that stepped out of heaven heaven and dressed himself in humanity and dwelt with. That's the word that I am teaching. He says, so tell me what the problem is. He said, don't come. And he said, don't come here, because Triple back there got his favorite false doctrine class, and he's back there teaching you something other than what I told you, because he told you over in chapter 2. I talked to Triple. That's exactly what he said, didn't he? I'm in chapter 2:15. He said, I told you, I stood eyeball to eyeball with Triple, and I told him, look here, you ain't nothing but a Judaizer. You know, when you're with the Jews, you act like the Jews. When you're not with the Jews, you don't act like the Jews. Look here, you ain't all that you need to be. You know, because if you teach anything that's outside this word, if you try to add anything to it, you are part of the problem. He said, well, let me state the problem again. I've said it as eloquently as I know, but let me state it just again, in case you didn't miss it in chapter 2 and then in chapter 3 and then the first 7 chapters of verses of chapter 4. Let me just restate the problem. Verse 8 says what? Earlier, before you knew God personally, you were enslaved to these other gods. You were in bondage to all these so-called gods. You know, the gods of Montana, the gods of Pittsburgh. You know, the gods of Minnesota. He said, but now you are known by a real God. And I'm surprised. The problem is you're enslaved. You're trying to tip back to something that you just got out of. You just came out of. You were enslaved to these non-gods. These little play gods. And he says, there was nothing divine about them. But now, what did it say? Here you've been studying calculus and physics, and you want to return to 1 + 1. I don't get it. Paul says you should be way beyond that right now. There's a problem, folks. There's a problem if you know the truth and you try to turn from it. If you live in freedom, and I can't talk too much about that today because we're going to talk about freedom next week. But if you're living in freedom, come on, Ed. You know, if you're living in freedom, why would you going to want to go back to bondage? Why would you want to go even play with the stuff? In other words, Paul says, I ain't said it to y'all, but I'll say it over to the Corinthians. When I was a child,
yes, sir.
I thought I acted like a child, but I'm a full-grown man now.
Yes,
you know, and I've been adopted. And see, God don't adopt any children. When he adopts you, we found out last week, he adopts you as a full-grown adult.
All right. Yeah.
Ah, Paul says, why would you want to return to that which enslaves? How is it that you want to return to that which enslaves you? You mean to tell me you desire that again? Let me put it on something y'all can really relate to, because y'all holier than thou. Y'all know the word. Y'all ain't no false teaching. When the church has taught you out of the book of Ephesians of how to be married. Oh, they shaking like a leaf on a tree. Right? They said, please don't let that boy go down there. But when the church has taught you what the word of God says, and then the word says, wives, submit to your own husband as unto the Lord. I ain't submitting to him. Why would you want to go back and live? Because the word of God says, if you live this way, your marriage, your union will be blessed. Oh, wait a minute. Before we go there, before we get all out of joint. In verse 25, it says, husbands, love your wives.
Yes, sir.
As Christ loved the church and gave himself. Why would you want to go back to something else? I just can't love her today. But the word said. I don't care what the word said. What? You're going back to elementary. ornery things. You're reverting back to that which enslaved you. The very thing that kept you apart, you're trying to tip back.
Come on, D.
Let me tell you what that's akin to. You know all you brothers who lack what they call the brick house phenomena. You know how oh, she's so fine, she's so gorgeous. It's like having the finest woman in the world. And for you ladies, the finest man in the world. And then after marrying the finest man, the finest woman in the world, go back down to the red light district. That's exactly what he's saying. You have the best. You've been told the truth.
That's right.
And you want to go back?
Come on now.
Paul says, no. There's a problem here. There's a problem. Verse 10 says what? See, when he started talking about those other gods, the Jews, they stuck their chest out like somebody on about the fourth, fifth row back there, you know. Oh, they ain't talking about me. Oh, get him, Sneed. Go get him. Well, I'm about to bowl down your alley right now. Because he says, you still out there observing them annual days. Are you folks so hooked up on those annual days and those traditions? As a matter of fact, annual days sometimes are more important than the Sunday morning service. We got to get up and read 1,400 names of everybody who contributed at least $1 and then cut the sermon down to 3 minutes. Come on, Swiss, you know I'm right. You know they do it.
Yeah.
You got to parade a whole bunch of folk in form of fashion, you know, interrupting the worship. I'm trying to get my masterful praise on, and you up here talking about some stuff. Oh, in 1939, Sister So-and-so bought this bench right here, and this bench has been, I don't care about your annual days. That's exactly what Paul said. I don't care nothing about that observance, not when it takes precedence over the word of God. Why would you want to revert back to annual days? You want a good Bible-teaching church,
amen.
Sister Johnson. You want a Bible-teaching church. You're in a church that is a word church. And then you want to say, I'm just not being fed. I'm going to go over here because, you know, I like the colors that they wear on the third Sunday over there. Is it me, Tripp? Because I'll cool out if it's me. But Paul says he sees that as a problem. Because we get so steeped in tradition,
yes, we do.
We forget to trust the Savior. We forget how we got here. We didn't get here by selling chicken sandwiches and salad and washing cars. We got here by observing the Word of God. Why would you want to go back to that? Paul says this is a problem. Fred, this is a problem. Paul says, I'm just trying to lay it out for you. Here's what he said. But my biggest fear, oh man, this is any teacher or preacher's fear. This is any saint's fear. When you've been sharing the word of God with folk, pouring out your soul, listen to Paul, verse 11. I like how the King James says that, but I know what it means. Paul says, I'm scared of y'all. I just tell you the truth. Anybody who want to go back and act that aberrant, that crazy, I'm scared of y'all. But then he says, what I really mean is that I labored in vain so hard. I worked so hard to tell you the truth. And then you want to go somewhere else. I ain't going back to that Deacon Sneed's class. I'm sick. I hear a sermon in the worship hour. Ain't going back there. I got to go where I can get in touch with my feelings. Go right ahead. Because I'm not interested in your feelings. Feelings run out. Feelings are fickle. Some days you feel good. Some days you feel bad. But you know what? The last time I checked, the word of God is good every day, always. I don't care how you feel, the word of God is good. You know how I know? This is what the word of God says about itself. Y'all know what I'm going to say. Oh, taste and see that I am good. It didn't say I am good sometimes. It says I am good all the time. There ain't never a time where the Word of God, most, all the things that bother you in life can be taken care of, Terry, by the Word. I don't care what anybody, I've proven it time and time again, Brother Edmondson. I've proven it. People be running around here, well, I got to go down and see my investor about such and such. I ain't going nowhere until I check with the Lord. Do you want me down here talking to these people or not? Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good.
Yes, sir.
And I am really afraid of y'all. that I've labored this hard,
yes, sir,
and you ain't got it yet. We done took you through basic doctrine, and you still up here talking about you can lose your salvation. Come on.
Yes, sir.
Grow up.
Yeah.
We've taken you through our basic doctrine, and you still trying to find out what can I do to get saved. I'm afraid of you. I've been working too hard. I poured too much into you. Is my labor in vain?
All right.
Working this hard?
My Lord.
Paul says, I'm afraid of you. That's the problem. Paul says, can I pull up for a sec? I'm sorry I got that emotional. He says, If I can't appeal to your logic, let me just do a personal appeal.
Right.
Because sometimes you have to do it. You remember in evangelism, we tell you the reason why. Well, why do you catch fish where they are? Does anybody know? Anybody remember? Huh? What was that? Because that's where they are. Okay, that's one way to say it. I heard another way. What was? Oh, praise the Lord. I like that even better. You can't catch fish where they're not. You can fish. You can be the greatest fisherman in the world. You can be the greatest ice fisherman for Michigan in the world. You won't catch no fish if ain't no fish there. You've got to meet people where they are. And when you can't get them logically, when you can't use, because Paul has said on many occasions, oh, come, let us reason together. Paul says, I throw myself on the mercy of the court. I done taught you guys. Ain't no need of going back through another basic doctrine class. Now I just got to make a raw appeal because you know the problem. The problem is you want to go back and eat your vomit. Oh, that's ugly, isn't it? Yeah, for those of you who ain't been to breakfast yet. He's saying that's exactly what you want to do. Paul says, I ain't going to let you do that. I've taught you better manners than that. I've taught you folk. Paul says in verse 12, brethren, brethren, if you don't have a listen to what I said, look at what I've done. I've modeled. My name is Paul, not Charles Barkley. I'm a model. I'm a mentor. I've mentored you. I've tried to be an example so that you could be like me. And he adds that later on to another church. I want you to follow me as I follow Christ.
Yes, sir.
Paul says in this particular context, though, Terry, I just want you to accept the word of God the way that I've accepted it. Because I've already told the Romans, it's the power of God unto salvation.
Yes, sir.
It's like what you're doing, you've got an M16. And you're walking down the roughest neighborhood in the world. And you get in that neighborhood and you see all these weapons. And they got some pistols. That's what they got. And some knives and some billy clubs. But you have an M16.
Yes, sir.
He says, this is what you're doing. Hey, would you take my M16 and give me your pistol? Because I'm ready to do battle with you. You got the power? You're willing to give it up? And he says, look, I appeal to your common sense. I appeal to you personally. Be like me. Then he goes on to tell him why. Verse 13. Getting real mushy now.
When I came to you preaching the gospel, I had all these infirmities. Bad knee, bad heart, bad eyes. But I preached to you. And I preached to you the truth. And you know what? You accepted it.
Let me tell you what that means. Paul has just set up something, and every preacher ought to tremble in his boots. Stop trying to impress people with exterior stuff.
Amen.
Give them the truth. Preachers come in all sizes, all colors, all shapes, all socioeconomic backgrounds. Because at the essence, preaching is simply truth through personality. Y'all with me? But guess what? Your personality ain't my personality. So go with what you got. Paul said, let me tell you one thing. He told the other guys, I didn't come to you with any eloquency of speech. He's telling these guys, I came to you sick. And you accepted me. It wasn't nothing fancy. It was the truth that I had.
That's right.
You didn't look at this package and say, I can't accept that. Because I was nothing to look at. That's exactly what Paul is saying. I was sick. I was a sick old man. And I came to you and you accepted me. And in my trials, I'm in verse 14, which was in my flesh, you didn't despise it. Now, he said, not nor reject it, but receive me as an angel of God, even as Jesus Christ. The word that I brought to you, Sister Vanessa, was so powerful. I was under such an anointing. You guys just accepted what I said. See, because the thing about it, what we've got to get away from in Christendom, we've got to stop looking at messengers and start looking at the message.
Yes, sir.
Oh, y'all better help me.
Come on.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You didn't think you were going to come to Sunday school and not get this morning. I am sick and tired of in Christendom that the better the package of the preacher. Oh, he's a great preacher.
Come on.
Let me tell you something. There's some of the greatest preachers in the world.
Yes.
Let me tell you something. They look like nothing. They had nothing. Matter of fact, the greatest preacher in the world was a former ex-slave named Williams who preached that sermon, The Sun Do Move. Taught in all the seminaries. Let me tell you something. There wasn't nothing to look at. The numbers go on and on and on. But now we dress them up and we put them out there. And they can say any kind of thing. And we fall and we squall. And oh, I just like it. You know what? I like identifying with the preacher. I like my preacher. I like how he look. I like his shoes. I like this. I like that. Shut up.
Yes, sir.
What is he saying? But matter of fact, because you ask them, Sister Bob, you can ask somebody, oh, child, we sure had church today. He preached today. He taught today. What did he talk about? I don't know, but when he put his foot up on that altar, you know, and he jumped up in that seat. Might be me, Tripp. It might be me. It might be me.
But Paul says, cut it out. You came to Christ just as you was. Because of what God had to offer. Not because of what some preacher had to offer. There ain't no preacher that brings you to Christ. None. No teacher. No. You know what you do? You lift up Christ. And Christ will do the drawing. Christ said it himself. Christ says, if you lift me up, and matter of fact, you see, to lift him up, Brother Clay, you don't need nothing. You don't need a suit. You don't need a tie. You don't need a pair of sneakers. You don't need nothing. All you need is the truth. And Paul proves it. Paul set a whole region on fire, Sister Melba. And he's telling them, I did it, and I was sick. I was sick in my body. Y'all read it. Y'all read it right there. And he says, these were trials. I was going through some things. But listen to verse 15. Y'all go right there for me. You know, for years, we've debated in the school, what was this temptation that Paul, people get really spiritually creative. They talked about, when he talks about this thorn, this is the same thorn in the flesh that he talked about over in Corinthians, you know. He had some sort of malady. He had an issue. And here he says, it must have been pretty rough. And as a matter of fact, this particular passage of scripture we just read gives us a real clue. I think I better, because some people says, because of his travels, he went through mosquito-infested places, and there was malaria and all of that. Yeah. And, this was probably it. But this right here gives me a pretty good. Paul says, here's what he says. You were so excited about the word that I preached. You overlooked the fact that I had bad eyes. Oh, you know how I know? Oh, I'm right here. He says, so much so, you were so hooked on my mouth, you would have plucked your own eyes out to give me a new set of eyes if eyes made it any better. Oh, y'all didn't hear me? Did y'all miss that, or do I need to do that again? Paul says, my malady was so severe. In other words, Paul had a problem, a disfiguring problem. Okay? He not only... We don't know if his eyesight was just bad or if he had some sort of eye malady which prevented him from people even wanting to look on him. It's like, preach, Paul, preach, preach. Preach, Paul, preach, preach. Just don't look at me. Don't look at me. See, because the word was more important than his looks, than his appearance. And Paul is reminding us. He's taking them back to the old landmark. He's saying, hey, guys, when you got saved, when you heard the word, you weren't worried about how I looked, how I was dressed, whether or not I had the right facial features. You know what? You accepted it as truth, as gospel. And now you got these pretty boys running around here. You know the ones I'm talking about, don't you? They're pretty. Armani suits. Got the right hairstyle, right glasses, driving the finest ride on the planet. But the truth is not in them. As a matter of fact, they're liars. As a matter of fact, they stink. Oh, y'all think I'm getting too graphic? As a matter of fact, for years, I always wondered why my grandmother would always say, boy, you're lying, and your feet stink, and you don't love Jesus Christ. It was hard for me to figure out what that was. But you know what? That's the truth, because these guys tread in areas where their feet will get stinky. They walk in that kind of stuff, and they try to bring you right back in there. Matter of fact, the word says, how beautiful are the feet of those. He said nothing about your feet stinking. It says that your feet are beautiful. despite the fact that you walk the dusty roads, your feet are beautiful when you carry the gospel. So if you walk in a road and you're carrying something other than the gospel, your feet must stink. Your feet ain't beautiful. Oh, I know I'm in Bible, but that's all right. That's all right. Paul says, you trusted me once. You trusted me when I had an infirmity and was telling you the truth. What's changed? Oh, yeah, I'm still dealing with my infirmity. I asked God several times, Lord, please take, let people be able to look at me, Lord. Paul says, God says, my grace is sufficient. Because Paul, if they start looking at you, maybe they'll start seeing something in you and not in me. I got to close. You know what? Paul, I mean, he was a man's man. I mean, we used to start putting out our bios. Matter of fact, during my little birthday departure, kicking out, you know, they had my bio up there, and I was trying to figure out who they're talking about. They talking about me. See, because Paul didn't see himself that way. He saw himself simply as a carrier of the gospel. He knew the reality that some people would look at him and say, I can't look at him. But he says, you guys didn't do that. And I thank y'all all those years, all y'all been coming for 20, 15, 10, 9, 8, 7, 3, 5, 4, all these years you've been coming. I thank you. Just accept the truth. And so you've had to overlook a lot of stuff in me just to hang up under the truth. And Paul says, all of you need to be that way. We need to stop looking at folk. He says, am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth now? See, when people want to go back to slavery, when they want to go back to bondage, they'll call you the enemy.
You read about that.
Oh, I know. Let me tell you. 13 years old. Sunday school convention. As it was a custom, I always, because if you were in Lana Culbert's youth organization, you had to speak somewhere. Somewhere you were going to speak. So it was my time up to compete. And it was some tough times. And so I ain't necessarily want to do it. So she gave me the liberty putting together my own speech. I remember the lines, just one or two of them. The line was, is life so dear, or peace so sweet, as to be purchased at the price of slavery? Is life so dear? Is this thing you call church, is it so close to you? Are these traditions so important to you that you'd be willing to go back to slavery? That's what Paul is saying. He says, I'm not your enemy. I'm just the purveyor of truth. I'm just the one that's bringing you this truth. Don't treat me like an enemy. Treat me like the brother you've always treated me as. Now and folk will do you that way, Gary. When you start telling the truth, some of your so-called friends will leave you. Oh, I heard a familiar voice and knows exactly what I'm talking about. There are some folk that they can't stand the fact that you stood up for the truth. Let me tell you something. I'll tell you something one of the greatest philosophers ever lived said. Right is right if nobody agrees with you. And wrong is wrong if everybody agrees with you. That philosopher was Liz Kendall, my co-teacher. If it's right, it's right. Sister Faison, it's right, it's right. Now, I love you, but if the truth makes me your enemy, then you better get ready for a fight.
Come on, D.
Because I'm going to be up in your case one way or the other, because I'm going to come with the truth. When it comes to the word of God, it's the truth. And Paul says, have I become your enemy because now I want to tell you the truth? Have I become you my accountability partner? And I tell you, hey, look, bro, I heard how you talked to your wife the other day. That ain't cool. That ain't what we teach. You know better than that. You're just having a moment, right? Hey, Doc, I've had them too. I get weak, you know, and I say stuff I don't mean, you know. I have an attack of lunacy every now and then. And now you get huffy. Last week, you were just sharing with me. Hey, man, I talked to Sister Doc. She looked concerned about you. What's going on in your life? I received it because it was a brother telling the truth, putting it out there. Now the truth comes to you, and you saying, pull up. You can't be my accountability partner. That's the first thing you're going to be jettisoned. Because if I can't come to you in truth, I ain't coming to you. If I can't tell you the truth about you, and you know if I can tell you the truth about you, I ain't had nothing to do with you. Even though you're supposed to be my member, I ain't have nothing to do with you. Because the truth is the truth, Trev. And the issue is, people start recoiling from the truth because it hurts, it cuts, it circumcises. Ooh, ooh. Isn't that what we're talking about? We're talking about that false teaching of circumcision? But that's what the truth does. The truth will circumcise all that mess and just bring you forth. The truth will refine you. You want to run away from it? Have I become your enemy? They zealously affect you, but not well. Yea, they would exclude you, that you might affect them. But it is good to be what?
Zealously affected.
Always. Stop acting up for the preacher. I better stay with my members, because I'll say that. Hey, Keith, I'll use you and Amanda, okay?
Ring the doorbell.
We're Robin Brown around. Oh, Amanda's, oh, Keith, you're the darling of my eye. Oh, this is my husband. Robin Brown, this is my husband. This is, oh, I love him to death. Oh, I love him. I'd do anything, you know. I drink the sweat off the floor that he, you know. I love him. Rem Brown, leave. Hey, babe, can you get me a glass of water? Get your own water.
Come on now.
Well, my.
You're real zealous when I'm around, when the preacher's around, when the teacher's around. You're real zealous for the good things.
Talk about it.
But how do you act when the preacher ain't around? How do you act? You return to those old ways. Paul says, you will not do that. Please, don't do that. Hey, guys, he says, I'm just being honest with you. You know? Don't do it. If you're going to be zealous, be zealous for the good things. If you're going to do right, do right. Do what is right no matter what. No matter what the odds are, because you're going to be in the company of folk who don't share the same belief system that you have. They're going to believe in all kinds of stuff. Jesus and nothing. Jesus is all you need. Well, I know some of you don't believe that. It is to be as it is for the remaining moments. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. I've worked so hard But it's evangelism time now. Yeah. Basic doctrine is coming up. I'll do it all over again. I work hard. Because you know what? In the end, it ain't about me. It's about getting the truth out there. Oh yeah, you know, me and Sister Mills, we got a lot of work to do, you know, in the coming days, you know, to get ready. But you know what? It's work that I'll treasure. I'll travail. I don't want to do it in vain, but I'll do it. And then he says, this boy's got an appeal. I'm telling you, he's hooking it up. Because that's how you have to do it. That's how you have to bring him the truth. In 103, which is one of the classes that we teach in evangelism, it's the communication block. And we use a book. It's called Say It With Love. God Almighty. Oh, Fred, I know you're shouting over there, but please, no more shouting in the classroom. Say it with love. I've told you guys exactly what's going on. I'm willing to tell you again. But you know what? I need to come see about y'all. I know you're singing a Donna Ross song, Come See About Me. I'm willing to come see about you. I'm willing to come see about you. Because I realize one thing. When I get in your presence, I've said all that I need to say. But I'll say it again, but I'll say it in a little softer voice. I'll have a more calming effect. I'll change my tone. You know how people say, it ain't what you say. It's how you say it. Maybe when I show up, I can be a little quieter with you. I can be not as hyper. I can be not as animated, not as personified. I'm going to tell you the truth. But I'm going to say it with love. See, Paul got this thing hooked up. He says, I can do this. I can do this. Now, we don't know, depending on when this was dated, if he ever got a chance to do it. And some say he did. Did he got a chance to come and be with them? Let us come and reason together so that we can do this thing, so that the truth can get out. If the truth has offended anybody today, as if it's offended anybody, let me not apologize right now. Come on, D. All right?
Yes, sir.
Let me tell you, we all get our feelings hurt. We ain't going to be little children about these things. We're going to have a love, tender relationship together, but I'm going to tell you the truth. And the truth is, God loves all of y'all.
Yes, he does.
The question is why? Okay. God does not love you. I want everybody in here to hear me. Even those from Pittsburgh. I want you to hear me. I want you to hear me. God does not love you because Christ died for you.
Come on, doctor.
Y'all better hear me.
Amen.
See, that's the truth. The truth. Some people are like, hey, right here up there. He done gone too far now. Christ, God loves me. God does not love you because Christ died.
Come on now.
I got Bible on my side. I read the B-I-B-L-E. I don't look at it or look it up. I read it. And the word over in Romans says, but God commended his love toward us.
Yes, sir.
In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died.
Yes, sir.
God loves us because God loves us. Not because Christ died for us. Christ died so that God could continue loving us. But God loves us. That is the truth. I don't need anything else. I can take John 3:16 and I can take it on into heaven with me. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Not that his son just died and then because his son died, God started loving us. God loved me before the foundation of the world. That is the truth. And if you don't believe that, if you think that you need something else, if you think you got to have your little holy days and happy days and hellish ways and add it to the gospel, you are wrong. I say that with all humbleness and respect. I trust that the next time I see you, my voice, my tenor, will be a little quieter. God bless you.